Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Colts, Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On a day in late 2021, Samuel Bateman invited Christine Marie and her husband, Tolga Kattis, to sit inside his Bentley. Not for a drive. For a confessional. Bateman, self-proclaimed prophet of a breakaway FLDS sect, a man with more than 20 wives, a man whose followers had given him their own children, began describing what he called the atonement. In detail, what it involved, who participated, what he required of his followers, including the minors among them. He spoke freely, as if describing routine church business. After church, we have donuts and what is it called? God, the name is escaping me at this moment in time. It's like a community type thing. And fellowship. And fellowship. Donuts and fellowship. Some coffee they bring in. Isn't that delicious coffee? Yes, it's that new roasting place down the road. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. Christine sat there frozen, praying her phone was recording. When she and Tolga got home, she picked up the phone and called a local police sergeant she'd been working with. Her words, as she later recounted them, "I got a bombshell for you. I got a bombshell you've been waiting for." The call happened, and it helped set in motion the federal investigation that would eventually result in Bateman's arrest, his guilty plea, and a 50-year prison sentence. But getting to that moment, getting close enough to a man ruling an interstate child operation that he would voluntarily describe in it, the front seat of a luxury car, had taken years. Years of building trust, years of living inside one of the most closed communities in America, years of knowing what was happening and documenting it piece by piece while understanding that if the cover was blown, the consequences would not be hypothetical. Christine Marie first arrived at Shore Creek in 2015, not to investigate anyone, not to infiltrate anything. A flash flood had swept through the twin towns of Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City, Arizona, killing 13 women and children. Christine came to help. She's a cult researcher by background. She understands high-control religious groups and the psychology of people inside them. But her initial visit was humanitarian. She saw a community in pain, fractured by war and Jeff's imprisonment, and still reeling from decades of authoritarian control, and she wanted to help the people trying to find their way out. That's the story we're getting into today, and as we do, press subscribe wherever you are getting podcasts so you don't miss anything in this series or any of our reporting on any of the crazy people we talk about on this program. Substack and YouTube, the links are in the description if you want to continue the conversation, express your opinion on it, share a story. Like I said, links are there. A year later in 2016, she and Tolga moved from Las Vegas to Hilldale. They rented a small stucco house. They weren't FLDS. They weren't polygamous or anything like that. They were outsiders, a cult researcher and a professional filmmaker, choosing to plant themselves in a community where outsiders has historically been shunned, surveilled, and driven off. Christine started a nonprofit called Voices for Dignity to support community members transitioning out of the FLDS. Tolga began filming. Now with a specific target in mind, just documenting the community, the people, the slow process of a closed society beginning to open. And then Samuel Bateman started making noise. When Christine and Tolga first encountered Bateman, he was a nobody, broke, alone, asking to borrow money. By 2019, he was declaring himself a prophet. And by 2020 and 2021, the signs of what he was doing had become impossible to ignore. Women in the community were talking, families were fracturing, children were disappearing into Bateman's growing household. Christine had spent years building relationships with people in Short Creek, people who trusted her, people who knew she wasn't there to exploit them. Some of those people started telling her what they were seeing, and what they were seeing was a man repeating the Warren Jeffs playbook with a brand new cast. This fall on NBC, Warren Jeffs is back as a brand new character. Must-see TV Thursday. Tolga had already been recording hundreds of hours of footage inside the community as part of a documentary project. When Bateman learned about the cameras in 2021, he surprisingly did not recoil. He leaned in. He wanted to be filmed. He wanted YouTube videos. He wanted a platform. He saw Christine and Tolga not as a threat, but as a megaphone. He invited them into his world. He gave them access to the Blue House, a large home in Colorado City where he'd taken over the top floor and lived surrounded by his wives. He let them film gatherings, conversations, daily life inside the group. Christine and Tolga made a deliberate calculation. Let him get comfortable. Let the cameras become invisible and capture everything. It was a gamble built on an uncomfortable insight. Bateman's narcissism was his vulnerability. What do I say all the time on this show? Narcissism always wins. Not the person behind it. Narcissism, because it will destroy whoever is practicing it. So it's like, you know, I mean, there are certainly cases where it's like, just let them. And this is not one of those cases, because children were being abused. But eventually it did stop. And his exposure is what stopped it. But narcissism always wins. If you got the narcissist in your life, the adult, and hopefully they're not harming children, they're just being a burden to you and making you walk on eggshells and life is hell with them, get the hell out of there and let them simmer away. Eventually they'll get fully cooked and die. But let them. They don't need you to turn the heat up on them. They do that all by themselves. Because that narcissism, like I said, it always wins. A man who parades his wife's on a flatbed trailer through town, who drives Bentleys purchased with his followers' money, who tells anyone who will listen that God speaks through him, that man doesn't hide from cameras. He performs for them. What they documented was the intermechanics of a cult in real time. Not reconstructed from memory years later, not filtered through courtroom testimony, not sanitized by lawyers preparing a witness for the stand. This was raw footage of daily life inside a high-control group who spoke, who was silent, who deferred to whom. The body language of women who had been conditioned to perform devotion on command, the offhand comments that reveal the depths of Bateman's authority over every aspect of his followers' lives, the children who moved through these spaces like ghosts, present but invisible, their silence, a form of testimony all on its own, and eventually the direct evidence of abuse that Christine would deliver to law enforcement. The risk was constant, and it was real. Christine had children of her own living in Short Creek. Bateman's followers were surveillance-minded, products of an FLDS culture where monitoring was built into the infrastructure. They had already demonstrated willingness to kidnap children and transport them across state lines. If Christine or Tolga were identified as informants, the retaliation wouldn't be abstract. As Christine herself put in a footage captured for the Netflix docuseries, "If Sam found out what I was doing, he will take my children and he will flee." That's not drama for the camera. That's the mother calculating whether the actual evidence she's gathering is worth the risk to her own kids. Every day she woke up in that house in Hilldale,
She made that calculation again. One of the filmmakers and reporting from the Salt Lake Tribune indicates this was Christine. Came forward to law enforcement in 2021 with recordings of Bateman discussing giving three wives to his male followers. She also had a recording of a conversation with the wife of one of Bateman's followers. In that conversation, according to court documents, the woman described her daughter being 14 or 15 when she became afraid of getting pregnant because Bateman was, yeah. She also described Bateman pressuring his followers to surrender their daughters to him. This was no longer observation. This was evidence. And it was evidence that the formal institutions had failed to collect on their own. Two police inquiries in 2020 had hit dead ends when parents covered for Bateman. Federal agents knew something was wrong in Short Creek, but couldn't penetrate the community's insular walls. Christine and Toga were filling a gap that no badge or warrant had been able to close. Tolga, meanwhile, continued filming hundreds of hours of footage, conversations, gatherings, the physical spaces where Bateman's group operated, all of which he later forwarded directly to the FBI. Prosecutors have described the couple's documentation as pivotal to building the federal case. Rachel Dristin, the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning director behind the Netflix docuseries Trust Me, The False Prophet, said she decided to get involved in the project after meeting Christine and Tolga and viewing their footage. What they had captured, she said, offered unprecedented access to a normally closed world. But here's a question that Christine herself wrestled with, and it's one that doesn't have a comfortable resolution. She reflected on it in the series. I was so trusted. I wanted to help them before they found out I was a mole. I'm not betraying them. I'm helping them, right? That right at the end carries more weight than any legal filing in this case, because what Christine and Tolga did was ethically complicated in ways that don't resolve neatly. They weren't law enforcement. They didn't have warrants or badges or legal protections. They weren't journalists operating under the shield of press freedom. They were civilians living in a community building genuine relationships with real people, some of whom would later be convicted as co-conspirators, and secretly recording those people for the purpose of handing evidence to federal agents. Some of the women Christine befriended are now in prison. Some of them trusted her as a friend and a lifeline during the most controlled, most frightening period in their lives. Some of them may have confided things to Christine that ended up in FBI files. Was it deception? Absolutely. Was it necessary? Look at what happened when the system tried to work without them. Law enforcement questioned Bateman twice in 2020 about taking minors. Both times, the parents lied to the officers. Okay, have a great day. They left. The community's insular methods made traditional investigation nearly impossible. The FLDS was built to resist outside scrutiny. It had been doing so for a century. Without someone on the inside willing to document what was happening and bring it out, how long does Bateman's operation continue? How many more daughters can hand it over? How many more years do those girls lose? The girls who testified at Bateman's sentencing, the ones who are now in high school, who have driver's licenses, who's dyed their hair and joined school plays, exist in that freedom partly because two people had no obligation to act, decided the discomfort of deception was preferable to the cost of doing nothing. Christine and Tolga didn't just provide evidence. They provided the emotional architecture of the case. The footage that shows what life inside Bateman's group actually looked like, not described from a witness stand months or years later, but captured in the moment. The conversations where women began tentatively to speak about what was being done to them and to the children around them. The visual record of a community under the thumb of a predator who believed he was untouchable because God had ordained his authority. That footage is now the backbone of Trust Me, The False Prophet. Now on Netflix, which arrived on Netflix, or is arriving on Netflix April 8th. It's probably out there by the time you're listening to this. The series is directed by Rachel Drisdon, the same filmmaker who made Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, the 2022 docuseries about Warren Jeffs. It is in many ways a sequel, not to the documentary, but to the cycle of abuse itself. Drisdon has said she hopes the series exposes both the violence that enforced secrecy enables and what it takes to tell the truth when everything is at stake. She called what Christine and Tolga documented a blueprint for how to dismantle even the most entrenched systems of abuse. But the series also raises the question that runs underneath every cold case, every trafficking investigation, every story where institutions fail and individuals step in. When the parents won't protect their children, when the police ask questions and accept lies, when a community closes ranks around a predator because their theology tells them he speaks to God, who's responsible for stepping in? And what does it cost when they do? Christine and Marie Tolga Kettis answered that question with years of their lives, the safety of their own children, and relationships they can never get back. The evidence they gathered helped put a man away for what amounts to the rest of his natural life. Whether the price they paid was worth it is a question only they can answer. But the girls who walked out of that courtroom free, the ones who are learning to live as something other than a prophet's property, would probably say it was. What came next would test every institution that was supposed to protect those girls, because even after Christine's evidence reached the FBI, even after law enforcement finally moved on Bateman, the system would fail the children one more time, because why not, you know, in a way that nobody saw coming. We're getting into that next. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. Wherever you're watching us, listening to us, hit that subscribe button. Take Us With You on the Road as a podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Search for it, press subscribe. There you are. I'll be in your phone all the time. Watching you, listening to your every... No, I'm kidding. Please do press subscribe. And let us know your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. If this is hitting home, share it. We do appreciate that. We'll continue the conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.